Amen. Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, last chapter in the book of Daniel, and also last message in our series on Daniel. You know, for the past 18 weeks, we've studied this book together. We covered the stories in the first half and then the visions in the second. We've walked with Daniel and his friends through their exile to Babylon, the fiery furnace and the lion's den. And then we've seen visions of beasts and horns and thrones and nations at war. And now as we come to the end of Daniel, we also come to the end of time itself. Because this final chapter tells us about the end times. That's our theme of this chapter and our message this morning. Tells us about the end times and prepares us for all that is yet to come. So we're going to go through the whole chapter together, but let's just begin by reading verses 1 through 3. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your word now, as we study these verses and indeed this whole chapter, Lord, I pray that you would teach us what we need to know about the end times so that we can be ready for all that is coming our way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Have you ever been told that you could not be given certain information because that information was on a need-to-know basis? Have you ever heard that phrase, right? No, sorry, can't tell that. Need-to-know basis, right? Reminds me of the junior staffer who asked a general for a top-secret file, and the general replied, son, you are on a need-to-know basis. And the only thing you need to know right now is that you do not need to know. So, yeah. Sometimes you get an answer like that, right? Well, what you need to know this morning and what Daniel needed to know is that we are on a need-to-know basis when it comes to the specific details of the end times. And we need to know there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay not to know everything. And just because God does not give us full details about the end doesn't mean he tells us nothing, right? Here in Daniel 12, we're going to learn a lot. We're given a very broad outline of what will happen in the end times. And so even though God may not tell us everything we want to know, he has told us what we need to know about the future. Our passage today answers three questions most people have about the end times. What will happen? How long will it take? And how will it all end? You might say, yeah, I'd like to know the answers to those three questions. Well, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. That's what Daniel 12 is all about. There's an outline in your worship guide. It has all three questions and the other points that we'll be covering throughout the message today. But let's get started. Verses 1 through 4 deal with the first question. What will happen? What's going to happen in the end times? Now, these verses are a continuation of the angel's words from chapter 11. Quick review. Back in chapter 10, right? Daniel was standing on the bank of the Tigris River. He looks up. He sees a vision of a man dressed in linen. Chapter 11, this angelic being starts talking to Daniel about the future. And first he tells him about what will happen in the coming years with the kingdoms of Persia and Greece. And then also about Antiochus IV, that terrible king that we learned about who would attack Israel and desecrate the temple. And all of that, it was future for Daniel, but we now know from history, all of that was fulfilled to the letter. But then towards the end of chapter 11, we saw how the angel switches gears, begins to speak about a different king who will attack God's people. And this king no longer matches the historical details we know about Antiochus. Becomes very clear that we are now talking about the Antichrist. That's what we looked at last week, the Antichrist. He was first introduced in the book of Daniel back in chapter 7. That makes sense because we've seen that Antiochus serves as a foreshadowing or a type of the Antichrist who is to come. Now that brings us to chapter 12. So chapter 10 was preparatory to this final vision in Daniel. Chapter 11 was the vision itself. Chapter 12 is the afterword to the vision. And the angel now moves from the details about the Antichrist that we looked at last week to a more general overview of the end times. So there's our question. What's going to happen? What will happen in the end times? First thing, we're going to look at three things. First, there will be a time of great persecution. Look at verse 1 with me now. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. And so this chapter begins with the words, at that time. At what time? Well, we saw that at the end of chapter 11, verse 40, the time of the end. So at the time of the end, Michael, the great prince, will arise. Michael is one of two great archangels identified for us in Scripture by name. The other is Gabriel. We've already met Gabriel a couple of times in the book of Daniel. We saw that Gabriel is a messenger to God's people. Now we learn that Michael is the protector of God's people. The angel tells Daniel, this will be a time of distress like no other. This agrees with what Jesus tells us in the New Testament, Matthew 24:21. For then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. The fact that Michael is involved shows that this will be a time of great spiritual conflict as well as physical distress. The angel tells Daniel, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. So what's this book? Well, this is the book of life. The book of life. It contains the names of all who will enter God's kingdom. They will be delivered. They will not necessarily be spared from suffering or from death, but they will be delivered from the enemy as they enter God's presence. So what will happen in the end times? First, a great persecution. Secondly, will come the resurrection and final judgment. Look at verse 2 with me next. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, there are some people who say that there are no clear references to the resurrection from the dead in the Old Testament. Well, this one seems pretty clear to me, okay? And it's not the only one. In the New Testament, yeah, we certainly get more details in the New Testament, but there are lots of places in the Old Testament that speak about the resurrection. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. This refers to all who have died. The dust of the earth reminds us of the punishment of death given by God to Adam in the garden. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. The word sleep here tells us that the death of the body, the physical death of the body, is temporary. It's only a temporary state of affairs until the time of the resurrection. And so Daniel 12 teaches the resurrection of everyone, of all who've died. It also tells us this will be a time of judgment. Why? Because some will rise to everlasting life. Others will rise to shame and everlasting contempt. All this agrees with what Jesus says in the New Testament. John 5:28-29, Jesus said, "Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice." And he's speaking about himself there, the Son of Man, will hear Jesus' voice and come out. And those who have done good will rise to live. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And then finally, number 3, we come to the glorification of believers. Look at verse 3 now. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Well, who are the wise? Well, the wise here refers to believers. The New Testament equivalent to this verse is 2 Timothy 3:15, which speaks of those who have been made wise for salvation through faith in Christ. The wise are those who've come to Jesus for salvation through faith in him alone. And then those who lead many to righteousness, that's the same thing. That's parallel to those who are wise, speaking of the same group of people, believers. Proverbs 11:30 says this, he who is wise wins souls. Those who are wise lead many to righteousness. And so believers are not only made wise for salvation for themselves, but they lead others to righteousness as well. The angel tells Daniel, they're going to shine like the brightness of the heavens. That's parallel to the next phrase. They're going to shine like the stars forever and ever. And once again, Jesus says something similar in the New Testament, Matthew 13:43. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Notice this final transformation, this glorification of believers, this is for all of eternity. The angel says, we will shine like the stars forever and ever. Praise God. And then the angel concludes his words to Daniel now in verse 4. He says, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And with these words, the official prophecy is completed. The angel says, seal this. That seal preserves and authenticates the words the angel has just spoken. Now, what's interesting here is when you compare what the angel tells Daniel here in the book of Daniel with what the apostle John is told in the book of Revelation. Daniel's told what? Daniel, seal up the words of the prophecy. Until when? Until the time of the end. You know what John's told when he finishes the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 10? John said, God tells John, keep the book unsealed. Unsealed because the time is now here. The time is at hand, the end times. Angel ends with the enigmatic phrase, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And, you know, this seems to speak of increased human movement. We certainly have a lot of increased human movement since the time of Daniel. People are everywhere, all across the globe, all the time. Increased human movement, increased knowledge. Knowledge has exploded. And so, you know, all of these are signs of the end times as well. Increased human movement and knowledge, but with very little wisdom and understanding to go along with it. What will happen in the end times? There will be a great persecution, followed by the resurrection of the dead and the final judgment, followed by the glorification of believers. That is the general outline, and it matches exactly everything we learn in the New Testament about the end times. Isn't it amazing how God's word, just one part, confirms the other and builds upon and adds other details, but it is all one tapestry woven together. And this concludes the words of the angels that began back in chapter 11. So that's our answer to the first question. What will happen? Now you know. It's right there. Three main things are going to happen. Now we move to the next question. How long will it take? And that's a pretty good question to ask, especially that persecution part. How long is that going to go for, Lord? We want to know those things, don't we? How long will it take? This question doesn't come from Daniel. This question comes from one of the two angels who are standing on opposite banks of the river where Daniel's standing. Look at verses 5 and 6 next. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river where Daniel was standing, one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long? How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? This is an amazing scene. Daniel stands by the river. Two other beings, these are most likely angels, they stand on opposite sides of the river. The man clothed in linen, the one who's been speaking to Daniel throughout this vision, is positioned above the waters of the river. I guess he's just floating there, hovering in the air. And one of the angels asks the man in linen, how long before these astonishing things are fulfilled? And this shows us that even the angels don't know all the details about God's plan. That's why the book of 1 Peter tells us even angels long to look into these things. Think about it. You know, we want to know everything about the end times, right? When it comes to the end times, even the angels are on a need-to-know basis. And if they don't need to know, they don't know. The man in linen then lifts both hands towards heaven and makes a solemn oath in the name of the Lord. Look at verse 7. The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. Now, in the Bible, only one hand is required for an oath. So the fact that this being lifts both hands shows that this is a very solemn oath. Notice whom he swears the oath by him who lives forever. This is the most solemn object of an oath, as he swears by God himself. He makes the oath, and then he gives the answer. It's not the answer we might want, but it's certainly the answer God chose to give us. It will be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. So why isn't that the answer we wanted? Well, first of all, it's still kind of vague. It's cryptic. We've encountered this phrase before, time, times, and half a time, back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. We saw then that it most likely refers to a limited period of time that God will cut short. So this persecution, all that, limited period of time, God's going to cut it short. That's good news. But we probably would prefer more specifics. Can you give us a beginning date and an end date? That would be really nice. I can mark it on my calendar, okay? The other reason we don't like this answer is because it reaffirms this period of persecution for God's people. How long until these things are completed? Not until the power of the holy people has finally been broken. That doesn't sound very promising. I don't want to sign up for that. You don't want to sign up for that. But this is the future for God's people. The persecution will be intense. It will look as though God's people have failed. Once again, it's probably not the answer we want to hear, but it's the answer God knows we need to hear. We need to hear this. We need to know this. And the man in linen hovering above the waters seals it double-handed with a solemn oath in the name of God who lives forever. So we've looked at the first two questions. What will happen? We learned that. How long will it take? Now we come to the third and final question. How's it all going to end, right? How will it all end? That's really the most important question of all. You know, we can make it through almost anything, so long as we know that everything will turn out well in the end. If you know it's all going to turn out okay, we can keep pushing through. Well, Daniel's the one who asks this third and final question. Verses 8 through 10 now. Daniel said, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So Daniel heard all this stuff, just like you and me this morning, but he still didn't understand. So if you don't understand it after we just went through it, you're in good company. You're in company with Daniel. And we have even more information than Daniel did. We have the New Testament, which goes into even more detail. Once again, what we want to know and what God chooses to tell us are two different things. And sometimes we have to live with unanswered questions. We read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, right? Even the angels don't get some of those, right? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. God gives us sufficient but not complete revelation. He tells us everything we need to know. Everything we need to know to follow him, to follow Christ, to follow the words of his law. And that's what the angel ends up telling Daniel. He tells him what he needs to know. He says, Daniel, basically two categories of people in this world. The wise and the wicked, the saved and the unsaved. Many will be purified. They'll be made spotless and refined. In other words, God will use this time of persecution as a time of testing. The persecution will reveal whose faith is truly genuine. It will reveal who are the wise and who are the wicked. This is very important. The time for you to decide whether you are following Jesus is not when the time of persecution comes. If you're not following Jesus now in a nation that's free to worship God and free to serve, and with very little persecution, if you're not following Jesus now, don't be under any illusion that when the time of persecution comes, you're going to suddenly start following Jesus. This is the time to get things right with God. This is the time to put your faith in Christ. This is the time to get serious about your relationship with the Lord. The wise will be purified and made spotless, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. If you're not following Christ when this comes, you're just going to continue the way you are. And that's what he says. You know, many will be purified. The wicked will continue to be wicked. Once again, the Bible's one book. Paul in the New Testament says the same thing. Book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. There will be terrible times in the last days, and evil men and imposters, those who acted as though they had faith, those who showed up on Sunday mornings perhaps and had the name Christian, but they weren't truly believing in Christ or following Christ, what will happen to evil men and imposters? They will go from bad to worse. Same thing Daniel said. Revelation 22:11 says something similar. We read these verses earlier, in the service. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. In other words, those who are wicked, those who are sinful, those who have not put their faith in Christ will be confirmed in their wickedness. But it goes on, let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Those who believe in Christ, those who are following Christ, will be confirmed in holiness and glorified forever. And the angel says, you know, none of the wicked are going to understand this. That's absolutely true, because if they did understand it, they would turn to Christ and be saved. They would do that today. If they understood all of this, it's like, well, I want to be one of the wise. I want to be part of the saved. None of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. Those who say, oh, God, I'm going to take what you've given me that I need to know, and I'm going to act on that. The prophecy is sealed until the time of the end. We don't know all the details, but we can understand what God wants us to know. Once again, what does God want us to know? The angel comes back. This is now the third time he's emphasized this. So he reaffirms this time of persecution that's coming. And he counsels patience and endurance. Verses 11 and 12. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. Well, that's a new number. You know, now, we've seen, we've talked about this abomination that causes desolation before. It was initially fulfilled by Antiochus IV back in 167 BC. It then foreshadowed the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, which in turn foreshadows the end times when the Antichrist will abolish all public worship of God. These 1,290 days, that's parallel to the time, times, and half a time. Once again, this tells us that the time of persecution is carefully measured by God. It is relatively brief, thank you, Lord, and it is precisely limited. God will cut it short for the sake of the elect, and it will not go an extra day or hour longer. And then we get this new number here, just out of the blue, 1,335 days. You wonder, it's like, what's the extra 45 days all about? And there are different ideas and thoughts on that. The way I look at it is simply this. If you can persevere for 1,335 days, then you're definitely going to make it through the 1290, right? Yeah, sort of like running a race, right? When you hit the tape, you don't stop. But, you know, if you're really going to persevere, you run through the tape and then you keep going for a little bit. And, you know, to me, that's kind of what those 45 days symbolize. Some people believe it could refer to the short time, Revelation 23, if you want to look that up later, just different interpretations. But once again, we don't know all these things, but we know what we need to know. Then the angel closes with a final word of assurance. He says, Daniel, as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. This is the angel's final benediction or blessing upon Daniel. Daniel, as we've seen throughout this book, has been a faithful servant all his life. He will now soon die and be buried. But first, God gives him this personal word of assurance of his own resurrection to glory. This is a good word from God that God knows we need to hear. And this is really the message we've been learning from the book of Daniel ever since chapter 1, right? All of the stories, all of the visions keeps doing the same theme. Yes, there will be difficult times ahead, but we can rest secure knowing that God has the final victory. The kings and kingdoms of this earth will all pass away, but God's kingdom lasts forever. And as God's people, we get to share in that kingdom with him. And so the final word, as we get to the end of the book, it's a good one. The final word is victory. Victory. Praise God. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God will be victorious, and we will share in his victory. Amen? Amen. So let me share with you just three brief applications as we close out today. Application number one, be prepared, because persecution is coming. You know, in speaking of the end times, Jesus said, Matthew 24, 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most, that's a scary word, not just the love of some or many, the love of most will grow cold. That is a strong warning for you and me to be prepared, to keep your heart strong in the Lord, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Not allow anything to dampen your love and your zeal for Christ. That's our first application. Be prepared. Persecution is coming. Number two, be encouraged. God will cut those days short. Jesus also told us, Matthew 24, 22, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. It's limited. It's a time times and half a time. It's 1290 days and you keep on running through the tape. Yes, there will be terrible times in the last days, but that time is limited by God's sovereignty and design. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. God will cut those days short for the sake of his people. And finally, number three, be faithful. Be faithful because God will reward those who persevere to the end. Jesus said, Matthew 24, 12, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Once again, this period of persecution will be a time of testing. The wise will be purified. The wicked will continue to be wicked. It's not your persevering that saves you. Okay? Rather, your perseverance reveals that you are saved, that you're truly saved. So be faithful. God will reward those who persevere to the end. God doesn't tell us everything we want to know about the end times, but he tells us everything we need to know. He gave Daniel plenty of details, gave him a strong overview of what would happen. Daniel still had questions, still didn't understand it all. We're in the same boat. We don't understand it all either. And that's okay. God has told us what we need to know so that we can be prepared for what's ahead, so that we can trust that God will bring us through it, and so that we can look forward to final victory. And people, that's really the message of the whole book of Daniel, what we've been studying all these weeks, right there. Be prepared, be encouraged, and be faithful. That's the book in a nutshell. Trust God with the future. Don't give in to fear. This world and its kingdoms are passing away, but God's kingdom lasts forever. And how does it all end? God wins. God wins, and we get to share in that victory. Amen? Let's thank the Lord together. Praise you, Jesus. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this amazing book of Daniel. We thank you for this final chapter that just gives us this word of hope and encouragement that we so dearly need. Thank you, God, that you are the victor. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the victor. And there is victory in Christ. Lord, help us to be those who are wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. Help us to be following you closely now, so we will be ready when the time of persecution comes. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.